It seems there's always been a fascination with the process and end result of various types of transformations. The Bible itself is full of examples of transformation in one form or the other, with warnings as well as encouragements. When I began to think and pray about this week's program, the topic of transformation all seemed very innocent and simple. However, as I did some research, I came to realize just how very complicated the term transformation has become in recent years. This week, we'll deal with the meaning and examples of transformation as implied in Scripture according to Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It states, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." The Greek word for biblical transformation used here is metamorpho. We get the English word metamorphosis, which means a complete change, such as a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. There is, however, another scriptural use of the word transformation as well. This word is metaschismatizo, I hope I pronounced that right, which carries the root word schema, which means fashion, from which we get the English word scheme. 2 Corinthians 11:13-5 carries this warning and this meaning of the word to transform. "For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." God willing, we'll touch on the second use of the term transform next week and its implications. Hello. I'm Shelley Dizdar, and this is Light Along the Way, an internet radio program designed to shed some light on the everyday issues of your life. Thank you all so much for joining me today. It's my prayer that together we'll be able to grow in the knowledge and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will make Himself known to us by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can walk in faith and obedience to His Word. Now, I'm no farmer by any means, but I live in Ohio farm country. My dad raises cattle for our meat, and my mother still has a garden and enjoys canning and cooking the vegetables of her labor. And I might add, the rest of us non-farmers in the family enjoy the vegetables of her labor as well. In fact, the family came to our house for dinner this past Sunday, and while my sister-in-law and I each made our contributions to the dinner, it went without saying that my mom was expected to bring the corn and green beans she had in her freezer and in jars on the shelf. Just outside the windows to our house are large trees that go through the various stages according to the seasons here in Northeast Ohio. I still get excited each spring when I begin to see the tiny buds appear on the blackened, seemingly dead branches of those trees. Each morning I get out of bed and immediately look out the window to check on the progress of those tiny buds. Often it seems as if overnight those buds suddenly turned into massive leaves, providing a wonderful array of green to complement the sprawling lawn and provide necessary shade for those hot summer days, as well as evidence that the tree still does truly live. Later, in the fall, I enjoy the transformation of color as green turns to shades of gold and red, and once again I'm reminded that soon those same trees will appear to be dead once again, though almost seeming to be holding out their outstretched limbs to embrace the soon coming snow. I also enjoy the transformation as flower bulbs, hidden in the ground, spring forth in a wonderful display of life as well, reminding me that things are not always as they appear on the surface. And, in case you're wondering, I do love those home improvement and decorating programs on television that exhibit amazing results due to the training, talents, and plans of design specialists. And, yes, I'll admit it, I do love a good makeover program that transforms a seemingly ugly duckling of a woman into a beautiful swan, or at least a much better looking duck. As I mentioned earlier, I'm no farmer in any sense of the word, but I still remain fascinated how tiny seeds in various shapes and sizes and colors can be placed into the dark soil and become transformed into wonderful fruits, vegetables, herbs, and flowers. Now, don't ask me to identify any seed as to what kind of end result it may produce, but I do know people who can do such a thing. I also have a friend, Dana, who can transform just about any ingredients in her kitchen into something wonderful to eat. Then, there's the age-old fairy tale plot that has been the inspiration for many a movie, book, play, and even an occasional song. Yep, you guessed it, Cinderella. And yet, I'm somewhat convinced that the author of Cinderella just may have had a little inspiration from the biblical accounts of Esther and Ruth. Just a little side note here. I want to encourage you to read the real stories of these godly women to your girls instead of Cinderella. I mean, I'm just saying. In fact, you might just want to read them again for yourself for the very first time, if you haven't ever read them before. You know, every day, us women use various tools of transformation, such as hair products, makeup, perfume and lotions, clothing items to minimize certain parts of our bodies, and clothes to emphasize certain parts of our bodies, clothes for specific activities, not to mention jewelry and the importance of choosing the right shoe for the occasion. Those in the acting profession are transformed to an even greater degree in order to portray a certain character in the process of telling a story. But perhaps that is a better example of the aforementioned verse in Corinthians, which I hope to explore next week. So, with all the time and money spent on physical transformations, what about the transformation mentioned in Romans? That verse starts out with a warning, or point of reference, if you will. It says, "Do not be conformed to this world." What does it mean to conform? Well, it means to follow or imitate in accordance to a specific mandate, system of belief, or example. While conforming to the image of Christ is to be desired, conforming to this world and its mandates, system of beliefs, and examples is not to be desired. I've heard various messages by any variety of speakers regarding this verse, most of which only touch on superficial issues of outward appearance, and all the time ignore a continued inward acceptance of responding to people contrary to the Word of God and the example of Christ. You know, this particular verse might also include the various methods used by many to make decisions or attempt to determine the will of God in a manner that is contrary to Scripture. You know what I mean. Tarot cards, astrology, an eight ball, tea leaves, and other methods of divination, including just following the crowd, or even seeking a special word from a so-called prophet or soothsayer that has no real connection to God at all. Some people even look for so-called direction by simply seeking out others they're confident will agree with them, or perhaps they twist the information given in order to slant the response to their desired answer. It's so important that we look for an example in the Word of God for right and wrong ways to respond in situations. You might just be surprised at how worldly you really are, and how easy it is for you to justify your worldly way of living. Then again, you might also be surprised at just how many situations and guidelines for decision making there really are in the Bible. I've touched on several of these on previous programs, so I won't go into them again here. The next part of that verse states that we are to be transformed. Remember the example of the butterfly, which is a picture of being changed according to original design or intent into something different by the renewing of our minds. Have you ever seen those commercials for products that can clean silver or jewelry that has become tarnished? How about stain removers and furniture restoration products? Okay, yeah, I'll admit it, they intrigue me too. All these items remain in their original form and function, but now they are improved for their intended use. When our clouded minds that have become tarnished, stained, and dulled from exposure, abuse, and neglect are restored by proper application of the Word of God, we can then make decisions according to God's methods and know His will regarding the circumstances and opportunities of our lives. I'm sorry to say that too often we want to sidestep the seemingly long and difficult way of doing things and fall into setting ourselves up to be deceived, manipulated, and sometimes even destroyed. Let me encourage you to study the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you into truth in applying Scripture to your everyday life. The more familiar you are with the ways of God and His power that is available to and in you, the quicker you'll experience His leading and decision. You won't even have to question what your response should be in a lot of situations, because you'll already know the answer according to God's will and word, and you'll know that He'll help you with even the most difficult responses. You'll also be able to avoid many circumstances in which you'll be forced to make difficult choices. And you'll experience a peace that will surpass human understanding and any particular drug of choice, so to speak. However, the most powerful transformation anyone can ever experience is the transforming grace of Jesus Christ in your life that can change or transform you into a brand new person when you turn from your life of sin without Him and commit your life to doing things His way by allowing His power to be at work within you. You see, Jesus said of Himself when He quoted Isaiah chapter 61 that He came to transform the lives of those He touched, and as He lives in us by the power of His Holy Spirit, He transforms us as well. Let's take a look at Isaiah 61. And while I probably will just read these verses, I'll do it slowly so that you have an opportunity to really ingest the transformation that is expressed in this chapter. From the book of Isaiah, and also the words that Jesus spoke about Himself in these first few verses. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Strangers will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of your shame, you will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, you will rejoice in your inheritance. And so, you will inherit a double portion in your land, and everlasting joy will be yours. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of His righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow. So the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. Let us pray. God, I thank you for the transforming grace that has been provided for us through the blood of Jesus Christ in his life and death on the cross and resurrection from the grave. Thank you that we have the opportunity, regardless of what situation or family we were born into, to become new creatures in Christ Jesus, to be transformed into your image through the Word of God and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word today that reminds us to have our minds transformed in agreement with you, to no longer be conformed, a warning to not be conformed to this world and its systems and ways of doing things and habits and examples and mandates, but to be totally changed from that, transformed to that which was the original design and intent for our very being in the very beginning of Genesis 1, when man was created. By the renewing of our minds, oh God, renew our minds. Renew us, God. Restore us to that place where we will be better able to use the mind that you have given us, that we might agree with you and your word, that we might be able to determine your good and perfect and pleasing will, that we might agree with your word over our circumstances and the people in our lives, as well as our very own lives. God, I thank you for your grace and your work and your word for this day. May we submit ourselves to you and read your word, allowing your Holy Spirit to bring to life your word in us, that we might be transformed to the original design of your intent when you created us. That we will walk in certainty. We will walk in confidence of your will. We will walk in obedience. And we will walk in the knowledge of your power for that obedience. Thank you, God, that your ways are higher than our ways. Thank you for your patience with us when we fail, when we become lazy, or when we look to other ways, ways familiar to the world. God, convict our hearts bring us the hope that is in Christ Jesus to do things differently, to understand things in a different perspective, in a different context than perhaps we have in the past or may be tempted to do in the future. And it is for your glory and honor and praise that we ask these things in the amazing, beautiful, powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Once again, thank you for joining me. God bless you. And hopefully next week, we'll cover transformation again from a different perspective. Good night.